Y'all thank H. Lee and Pam for letting us use this building. Isn't that nice of them to do? We welcome you. How many here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time? It don't cost extra. Go ahead and raise your hand. All right. All right. Got a couple for the first time. The rest of you knew what we do, so you on your own. All right. How good for you to be here this morning. Thank you for coming. And we will now do what we come for other than have fellowship. So let's pray and then we will expound the word of God. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to be here among friends and among your children and assemble together where you said if two or three of us will do that, that you'd be present. And we certainly welcome your presence in the being of the Holy Spirit of God. And we thank you for this place we're allowed to worship in. How good you are. Who else could be here? It's awesome and it amazes me that we're allowed to be here. What a good God you are. Thank you for all the good things you've done for us and the people you bring our way. And Lord, the people here who have diseases and financial problems and family problems and other problems, and let them learn today that you are the answer, the only answer. And it's not going to get any easier until they get in your family. For then the answers and the blessings from heaven come. Please remove me from this place that you be heard, that anything that I say that should be forgotten would be, that anything I say that would be worth remembering will be, and that you would save the man nearest hell. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. The good news is that according to the scripture I'm going to read, God is going to free all creation from struggling and suffering. The whole thing, and I'll read it to you. From the book of Romans, chapter 8, at the verse 18, and Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity." And that means emptiness, frustration, total frustration, and it never ends, is what the word vanity means there. "Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now," meaning until the time he wrote it. "And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit of God, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," that is, the redemption of our body. "For we're saved by hope, but hope that's seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And sometimes you just read that and find it difficult to break down into what it's talking about, and that's what I'm for. And we can understand through the years of hearing good preachers and studying after good authors, and we can break down what this says and relate it to you. And please understand that is what my privilege is to do to you. And we're helping a lot of people. You keep bringing people down here. People with problems and people with pain, because we are going to help them find the answer. So what Paul says here, that the future glory that Christians will have is well worth the struggle that we go through now. And sometimes you list the struggles of people, and the psychiatrists say if you get a circle and get everybody to tell their problems, you'll wonder why you're there, because everybody has so many. And sometimes you think it's only you who are having a particular problem, and it isn't. This is common to mankind. You see, when man sinned, he was put in a perfect world and a perfect environment. The world itself was perfect and a man was made perfect. But when man sinned, he and the world became cursed. And from that day forth, mankind has tried to find the answer, to find that peace he once had with God. As Adam walked into the garden with God like you would, or I would with one of you here, me and Charlie walking down the beach talking to old friends, that's what Adam did. And he threw all that away. And everybody's been paying the price ever since. And I didn't understand it in the way as I studied this week this, and so has the physical world that we'll talk about in a minute. And the problems we have come from sin, of course, and please don't understand, I don't come in here to jump on you. We have a lot of folks in here who had a drink or two and then got caught up in it, and they couldn't handle it like you. And it got hold of them, and it wrecked their life. And we're not here to get on your case. I'm here to get on your side and show you how to get away from that and anything else that bothers you. Because you must understand the things we fight are spiritual warfare. The scriptures say we fight against powers and principalities we know not of. And it's most difficult to fight somebody you can't see. It's most difficult, and a lot of us came up down here on the beach and came up in the days where, you know, you had to be at the OK Corral and ready to hit the street at any minute. And we fist fought and had the knives from Aner brought out, and one dude brought a rake in the pad one day trying to kill everybody. And a barber had a straight razor. I never will forget it. And we've been through all that, but when you have to fight things you can't see, and you have maybe a disease that you can't see, and you're a fighter, you don't give up. Get out here and let's do battle. Get the disease out here, show yourself, and we will fight. But you can't do that. And you're a fighter and a warrior, but to fight the unseen is just total frustration. And that's the vanity which the scriptures just spoke of. It is total unending frustration on the human race, and it's not going to end. And I'm not a harbinger of bad news, I'm a bringer of good news. But the world keeps trying to solve its problem the wrong way. It's like the country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And they look for the answer to spiritual problems, but won't go to the spiritual answer, so they're not going to receive it. And all you're going to get is a temporary relief. It's like crack. It's good for 20 minutes. But your life, hopefully, is going to last longer than that. And after the 20 minutes is over, you got to get another one. Then another one, and then another one. As it is with the other things we struggle against, trying to find that peace inside of us that only can be found in fellowship with God, and we seek it everywhere but there. So when we're attacked with diseases and pain, and I talk to people in abuse situations, and I just wasn't brought up that way. And I understand diseases, I understand viruses, I understand car wrecks, but I never have understood why a man would hit a woman. Never have understood it. You're bigger than her, stronger than her, can run faster, she's helpless. Get out. If she gets on your face, get in the car and drive off. For heaven's sake. And if you think it made her hurt by you abusing her, you wait till it catches up with you and she's gone and you suffer the pain for what you did. It is far worse than anything you can ever do to her, I'll promise you. The answer we give today, persecution you get, unregulated urges and desires you get, you know what this comes from. And they call everything a sickness today. Well, he's sick. You'll have to excuse him for that. That's a mental condition. Well, what if he decides he enjoys running over small children with his car? Are we going to excuse that as a mental condition? I don't think so. It's a spiritual condition. Get him right with God, he'll have control of his spirit. You turn your life over the spirits on the other side, and they will have a heyday with you. They will run you crazy. Literally. Got to visit somebody in jail today for this very reason. And then you have weaknesses and shortcomings. And I'll have people say, I'm trying to do this, but I'm just so weak. I just give up. It's all right. Just keep in the game. Just keep going. You get next to the Lord Jesus and he'll give you your strength. You try to whip an archangel in your whole strength and he's going to grind you to powder. And please understand, that's who your adversary is. He wasn't just an angel. He was one of the three archangels. He was the nearest thing to God you can get. He is so cunning and so slick that he had 1/3 of the angels who saw God work every day and saw him when he made this place and saw him when he created that ocean and everything in it, and still they followed him. You ain't going to out hustle that sucker. Ain't going to happen. You've never been that bright. He's going to ground you to powder unless you get with somebody stronger, bigger, and smarter with him, and that's the Lord Jesus. So if you're weak, this morning we'll show you how to get strength. You're going to have shortcomings of things you just can't do and can't overcome. Just keep fighting. One day it'll happen. We have the pain of aging going on. Everybody trying to get the wrinkles out of the face. Forget that. All them vanishing creams, all that's going to vanish is your money. The leather wrinkles when it gets old. Right? And we're made of leather and we're going to wrinkle. See? And you're going to do that, and it's all right to dress up and pretty up, and that's absolutely wonderful. But there's people who really believe they can defeat aging. No way. You'll have a loss in your family, and it hurts so bad. You lose a husband or a wife, you lose a child to death, and you lose a mother and a father, and just the losses that come, a good friend die, whatever, and it just hurts so bad. It's not going away. Man is born unto vanity, Ecclesiastes said. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What he's saying is frustration will be with you forever. For we still live under the curse. And it won't be lifted until the Lord Jesus takes it away when he comes. So all of these things are good. You say, now he's gone completely crazy. No. They are good because these things cause you to seek the answer, which is God. And when you have pain and struggle and frustration, it'll draw you closer to seeking God. It'll make you look for him. It'll make you depend on him more and more. I see two of my wonderful people from Charlotte sitting right over here, and their brother is I believe he's an optometrist, or he's a doctor of eye doctor, I call him. Right. And it had a leg taken off. And it was frustrating him. And he was mad. I mean, he's a doctor. He don't want to walk around with one leg. And he just didn't want to go through that. And they thought he was going to die. And they called us and other people for prayer. And we did. And he didn't die. And I said, has he got a pretty good sense of humor? And he said, oh, yeah. Yeah, said, he's wonderful. So I sent him a picture of little Bradley. And said, dear doc, keep on keeping on. You still got me by 3. Love you, Bradley. And he'll pull that out till he dies, looking at that thing. Saying, all right, it's not so bad after all. I hope you do that. I do. I carry his picture in my billfold, him and Frankie in my briefcase. And I get to feeling my sorry for my fool self. And I say, excuse me, I thought I heard something. So thank you, Bradley. It's going to be a good day. I can walk out on the beach and wave at somebody, and I can talk and sing and jump, and you can't, little buddy. Thank you for helping me. And what a joy for him to be brought into our life. And let me tell you what Paul calls all these things you're going through, including operations, including cancer, including blindness, including going broke, including everything that happens. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. You want to smack him. For our light affliction, say what? He said, our light affliction, he calls it, which is but for a moment. As you see, your entire life is a dot on the horizon of time, as my wife reminds me. A dot. Eternity past, eternity future, and your little old 70 years is right in there somewhere. Little old minuscule dot. I had a friend in Greenville as our football manager. We called him, he was Charles Atlas from the shoulders to the waist, but he had polio and could hardly walk. He'd have been a wonderful athlete. His brothers were all Americans and all everything else. And Teddy was massive. I put my hand in his, and it was like me shaking hands with one of these little children in there. Strong, but couldn't play. And before he left this world, I held a little revival in Greenville, took a little tent up there. We had big crowds of six and seven people some nights. And Teddy was one of them. But Teddy and Don Knight, two of my childhood friends, both accepted the Lord. And I was talking to him. I said, Teddy, I'm so glad that we got to you, son. I've loved you all my life, and you've meant so much to me. Playing ball, I'd look over and watch you hobble up and down them sidelines. And a lot of people took a lot of pain because of you, because I gave it to them on your behalf. And he said, I appreciate that. He said, Beaver, I just always wanted to run fast enough that the wind would blow in my hair. I said, Lord God, and you going to call that light affliction? Paul does. And I explained it to Teddy. I said, Teddy, I know you so well, and we've been friends so long. I can tell you this. You accepted the Lord, and when you die, if it's before or after me, you'll be in heaven, my will too. And I'm going to see you again, my friend. But when you get there and all your crippleness, and you're going to keep complaining because you don't complain much, but if I was you, I'd have complained more. I don't see how you kept from it. But I know what you're going to say and tell an angel as soon as you hobble in there, saying, look, I was crippled for 70 years. And he's going to say, say what? He said, 70 years. And he's going to say, you know, you're the third one today to use that term, years. He said, I'm familiar with eternities. I'm familiar with forevers. I'm familiar with always. But I'm not familiar with, is that a very short period of time? What is this year thing you keep talking about? Well, a year's 365 days. And I said, when he gets up from laughing, he'll pat you on the back and say, no more. No more. So it works for us, Paul says, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Meaning that the afflictions that we go through now that he refers to as light and we refer to as heavy, he said, look, the glory that is going to come because you're in the family of God is more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Not 2 tons, I understand that. Not 18 megatons, I understand that. But an eternal weight, we don't have a number for. We have no way of explaining what an eternal weight is, that much. And he said, that's what's waiting on you. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They don't last long. But the things which are not seen are eternal, and that's what we wait on. The scripture also says the future glory of the Christian and the child of God, what he has to look forward to. He describes it as eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And the beauty of the ocean we see in the Grand Canyon we like to look at and the flowers we see and smell is garbage compared to what's coming. It's under a curse. Everything we see and call beauty, God calls trash. It's under a curse. I had a little wife dying one time in the hospital of cancer, and I thought I'd go across the street and buy her some flowers, and went in the flower shop, and I'm going to have fun regardless of what's going on. You know how we do. And I found the flowers, oh, beautiful roses, and I said, well, I'll get some of these if they're real. She said, well, they're real. I looked at them and said, no, ma'am. She said, yeah, these are real. And I said, I don't believe so. She said, look, mister, the silk ones are over there. Keep them apart. These are real. I said, no, ma'am. Well, she was getting hot, and, you know, hotter she got, more fun I was having. She said, what do you mean these aren't real? I said, they got thorns, lady. She said, they all have thorns. I said, not the real ones. Not the real ones. You've yet to see a rose, ma'am. You've yet to smell one. You've got all this stuff in here, and you think it's pretty, and it's sitting here under a curse. And he said, just wait. I saw a picture the other day on the computer saver. I don't know nothing about computers except there's a pretty picture on them when you walk through the kitchen and it saves the screen. I don't know what it is. And does all that. See? And I looked at one in amazement the other day. I said, honey, will that print that? I would love. She said, no, it won't print that. I said, boy, I'd love to have that. And it was a full color picture of deep into space. And it showed a billion stars, and they were red and blue and green, the most beautiful colors you ever saw. And I said, that's how God sees them. I see four white dots and think I saw something. Get up at 3 a.m. to watch a meteor shower. Leftovers. 3 a.m. for leftovers last night. No, thank you. I'll go with the real ones. I love my little mother to death. She was about 90 years old, visited me down here when Halley's Comet was coming by. It comes by every 75 years, you know. And I said, well, she may like to see that. And I said, Mama, would you like to walk out on the beach tonight about midnight? She said, what in the world for? I said, well, Halley's Comet is coming by, and they say we'll have a good shot of it over the ocean here. Thought maybe you'd like to see that. She said, saw it last time. I said, my goodness. Oh, me. And Ann asked me where I got my sense of humor. I said, so the creation we're under suffers hurt and damage and loss. And it suffers destruction and erosion and death and decay. And the frustration that we have, earth has, the creation has. And the tree huggers have taken it the wrong way. But see, when God created this earth and man to be on it was created for the man and the man was created for it. And they were to work harmoniously together. And when one fell, the other fell. And when the man suffered loss, the earth suffered loss. They're constantly drilling in Alaska and bringing up palm trees to show us that it was different at one time. And the leaves on them half as big as this room. It was different. The land mass all got together. The liberal infidels and ignorant fools will tell. Well, I don't know how you think the animals got to the ark. Did they swim? Ha, ha, ha. I said, no, fool. It was all together at one time when they came. And they spent years being sent there. See, only a fool comments foolishly on something he does not understand. And God said, I'm going to have to curse the whole earth. This whole universe was made to center on this earth. There's no other reason for the sun to be there. Nobody else needs grass. Nobody else needs the photosynthesis we have, the oxygen we have to breathe. Nobody else needs that, just us. He did that for us. The whole solar system was made for the benefit of man. And we to benefit it. And now we fail and it fail. And things aren't like they were. That's why you keep getting hurricane warnings. God didn't want hurricanes. He didn't want any storms that drown people. He didn't want all this misery that comes from the earth. He didn't want the little bunny rabbits to have to worry about the fox. They were supposed to lay down and sleep together. All the pain that the whole creation suffers, one day is going to be delivered. You turn over to Revelation and you'll say, new heavens and a new earth. And people say, oh, they're going to build another one. No, he's just going to renovate this one. And it will go on forever. But he's going to put it back like it was. He's going to do a renovation job you will not believe. He's going to change the animals. And they're going to go back to, instead of eating each other, they're eating the straws and the berries and all that. Okay? Going to change that. See? They weren't ended. Never going to supposed to kill each other. See, and man is saved from his dilemma by hope in Christ. Now let me tell you what the Bible means when it says hope. Because like everything else, we give it a new definition, don't we? We say, well, hoping is wishing. Boy, I hope I get something good for Christmas. That's a maybe, isn't it? Boy, I hope the doctor can do that operation right. That's a maybe. But hope, when it comes to Scripture, this word means an assured expectation that you're expecting something you know is going to happen, not a maybe. And it says it is a confident knowledge that you have, an inward possession that you know. It's a spiritual surety. And of course the lost man can't understand you and think you crazy when you say it's all right, God will handle it. He thinks you some kind of religious nut. But when you know, as my father used to say, when you know that you know that you know. And once he said it, needs the faith and assured expectation, confident and inward possession you already have. You see, you already, by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are saved from all this now. Say, but it's still going on. I know we're still in the same place. The renovation hadn't taken place. But all, that's why Paul says your affliction is light affliction. How can it be light affliction when you're sitting there with cancer? See, he said, wait a minute, this is going to pass. I'm going to renew it all, keep you with me, come back, and we're going to do it again right. And you in on it. That's the hope of having salvation now. Now, if you were totally saved and had everything you were supposed to have now, you'd have no reason to worship and be faithful and draw near to God. So in his wisdom, he said, I'm going to do it in three steps. The first step, I'm going to die on the cross and pay for your sin. I'll get that out of the way now. You are no longer guilty and no longer face a penalty for your sin. I have borne your penalty, your guilt, and your shame, and I have paid the bill, and you are in the family right now. But I'm going to continue to save you from temptation. And you see, the man who is lost, who gets out of here with some of his honeys, he don't stand a prayer. He'll fall for temptation every time. He's weak. He thinks he's cool and something. He's weak. He's going. He's a dead man. One's going to come along and get him if he doesn't have somebody to call on. But the book says that I will deliver you from that because I will, if you will call on me in a situation, I will provide you a way of escape, the Bible says. I promise you, I've done it 1,000 times. Lord, I done got myself in this one. Please get me out. The answer will come, and the way of escape will be there. And I don't have to worry, because I can call my big brother, and he'll take care of things. So he's saving us that way. And then you will be saved from the very presence of sin. What a good day that's going to be. What a good day that is going to be. See, we've just adjusted. We got to live with it. I don't like it that these little children over here have to go to the 7-Eleven, get them a Coca-Cola, and they got Hustler and Playboy. They used to hide that stuff under the counter, and that's right out where the children can see it. See, the X-rated shops, everything in the window where the children can see. See, we've just adjusted. Well, we'll just adjust. No more adjustments. Day's going to be where we don't have to adjust anymore. It's just done. I can hardly wait. So there's a couple of hopes. We want to run through it, and we'll go home with the hope of the resurrection of the dead. And this is not a maybe. And people say, boy, I hope there's a resurrection. I wish for a resurrection. Paul knew there would be a resurrection. He was in court, and they were trying him for one thing, and he saw a bunch of Sadducees over there. And he said, I'll just get them in a war with the Pharisees, and they'll forget what I'm doing. Kind of like Gary, what's his name, the congressman? You ain't heard much about him lately, hey. See, that's one man who is thrilled to death we at war. Because they got off his case. See? And that's what Paul said. He said, when Paul perceived that one part of the group were Sadducees and another Pharisees, he cried out in the council in the courtroom, men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, and the hope of resurrection of the dead I'm called in question. And he's saying, of the surety, because I preach the resurrection, because I know it's going to come, the hope, the inward hope of resurrection of the dead, I preach for question. And when he said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees. They went to a confident knowledge that you have, an inward possession that you know. It's a spiritual surety. And of course the lost man can't understand you and think you crazy when you say it's all right, God will handle it. He thinks you some kind of religious nut. But when you know, as my father used to say, when you know that you know that you know. Once he said it, you know, it's no longer a wish and a maybe. It is an assured expectation, confident and inward possession you already have. You see, you already, by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are saved from all this now. Say, but it's still going on. I know we're still in the same place. The renovation hadn't taken place. But all that's why Paul says your affliction is light affliction. How can it be light affliction when you're sitting there with cancer? See, he said, don't wait. This is going to pass. I'm going to renew it. The hope, the assurity of salvation. When you ask some of these folks, well, do you think you're going to heaven? You say, well, I really hope I can. They wishing. They're saying, well, English, hope so. When you ask me, I say, yes, I have the hope of salvation. I have the inward security of salvation. I have the knowledge from God that I'm saved. I have been changed from darkness to light. I was lost, and now I'm found. I have the hope of salvation. That's another salvation. That's another hope we want. Then the hope of eternal life, and mankind's tried to do that forever, have they not? Find the time machine, take the pills, do the exercises, and the guy who invented jogging died on TV. I saw him. Had a heart attack on the late night show. Your days are 70, 70, 70, 70, 70. That's 70. That's all you have been allotted. If you get it past 70, you on borrowed time. And thank God for every day you get up. Because it's borrowed time, and I don't care who you are and what they try to do. It's not going to go much past that. But we have the hope of eternal life, the surety of it. Question, And when he said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude were divided. They went to war. For the Sadducees say there's no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. Now you know why the Sadducees are so sad, you see. No resurrection. The hope of salvation is the hope that we have and the knowledge that we know. I don't hope someday to be saved. Assured expectation, confident and inward possession you already have. You see, you already, by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are saved from all this now. Say, but it's still going on. I know we're still in the same place. The renovation hadn't taken place. But all, that's why Paul says your affliction is light affliction. How can it be light affliction when you're sitting there with cancer? See, he said, don't wait a minute. This is going to pass. I'm going to renew it all, keep you with me, come back, and we're going to do it again right. And you in on it. That's the hope of having salvation now. Now, if you were totally saved and had everything you were supposed to have now, you'd have no reason to worship and be faithful and draw near to God. So in his wisdom, he said, I'm going to do it in three steps. The first step, I'm going to die on the cross and pay for your sin. I'll get that out of the way now. You are no longer guilty and no longer face a penalty for your sin. I have borne your penalty, your guilt, and your shame, and I have paid the bill, and you are in the family right now. But I'm going to continue to save you from temptation. And you see, the man who is lost, who gets out of here with some of his honeys, he don't stand a prayer. He'll fall for temptation every time. He's weak. He thinks he's cool and something. He's weak. He's going. He's a dead man. One's going to come along and get him if he doesn't have somebody to call on. But the book says that I will deliver you from that because I will, if you will call on me in a situation, I will provide you a way of escape, the Bible says. I promise you, I've done it 1,000 times. Lord, I done got myself in this one. Please get me out. The answer will come, and the way of escape will be there. I don't have to worry, because I can call my big brother, and he'll take care of things. So he's saving us that way. And then you will be saved from the very presence of sin. What a good day that's going to be. What a good day that is going to be. See, we've just adjusted. We got to live with it. I don't like it that these little children over here have to go to the 7-Eleven, get them a Coca-Cola, and they got Hustler and Playboy. They used to hide that stuff under the counter, and that's right out where the children can see it. See, the X-rated shops, everything in the window where the children can see. See, we've just adjusted. Well, we'll just adjust. No more adjustments. Day's going to be where we don't have to adjust anymore. It's just done. I can hardly wait. So there's a couple of hopes. We want to run through it, and we'll go home with the hope of the resurrection. And people say, boy, I hope there's a resurrection. I wish for a resurrection. Paul knew there would be a resurrection. He was in court, and they were trying him for one thing, and he saw a bunch of Sadducees change the animals. And they're going to go back to, instead of eating each other, they're eating the straws and the berries and all that. Don't change that. They weren't ended. Never they're going to supposed to kill each other.